Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
In Acts 1:8, Jesus had said, "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power, the power to be my witnesses." This is all about something that's bigger than us. It is about the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to walk through a number of things. If you could take the handout that was there, which has some notes that are already prepared for you as we're going to walk through the message this morning. And I'm going to start with the 10th chapter of Romans. And as I read from the 10th chapter of Romans, there are four questions. See if you can pick it out. Each one of them starts with the word how. Beginning at verse 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is how you access salvation. You call on the name of the Lord. But there's a problem. How? Four hows. First one. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? Yeah, duh. How can you call on someone you don't even know is there? You don't believe in him. How are you going to call on him? And then there's another how. How are they going to believe in the one that they'd never heard of? Yeah, how's that going to happen? There's a third how. How will they hear unless someone tells? That I changed the word a little bit here because it's not just preaching in a formal sense, but it is the telling of the good news about Jesus. But there's a fourth how. And how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." The four hows, the answer for all of them, all four of them, is the same. No way. Just can't happen. It can't happen. People need to be sent, and people need to go. Everybody is in one or maybe even in both categories, sending and going. That is what the assignment is that God has given to us as church. We're not fully church unless we are doing what he has given us to do. Now, last week, Pastor Dreyer gave you a message about the power to believe. You see, it's a divine kind of a thing. It is the Holy Spirit that uses the words that we speak to accomplish his great goals in the lives of people. As a matter of fact, God has a goal to reach the entire world. John 3:16 goes like this: "For God so loved the," what's the next word? World. God so loved the world. Now, how far is that going to reach? When we go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, we're going to see that this is an incredibly wide reach. So this is looking at the future. John the divine was given an opportunity to see the future. "And after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number." Get this. "From every nation, from all tribes and peoples," peoples meaning ethnic groups, "and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. They're worshiping the Lord." They are in the victory, that final victory that belongs to the children of God. So God has an intention, and he has but with that intention, he's got a plan. The intention is to fulfill what he has already spoken. Do you think God speaks something and then doesn't fulfill it? But God has a plan. So what's the plan? It kind of goes like this. In John chapter 1, we're going to look at that one. We're going to emphasize a couple of the verbs in here because there's a process in these verbs. Okay, this is one day, it says, "One of the two who heard John," that is John the Baptist, "speak and followed Jesus." Okay, "one of the two, his name was Andrew, he was Simon Peter's brother." Okay, we have the word heard. He could not call upon the one in whom he had not heard. Okay? But what did he do then? He did something. He found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." Maybe he should have said, "The Messiah has found us." Okay, which means the Christ. Now, there's one more action. So he heard, he found his brother, and now what did he do? He brought him to Jesus. You see, that's the simple process by which the church grows, by which the church remains healthy, by which we walk then in obedience. Now, from that, we have to answer the question of who is it that we should be reaching? Well, this example is someone who was close to him, okay? A brother, Andrew's brother, Simon. But apparently Simon didn't know Jesus, so someone close to him but far from God. That's how that whole thing works. And we call that, let's say, that group of people that were close to us but far from God, call our little oikos. Now, I know it sounds like some kind of a Greek yogurt, oikos. It is a Greek word. Here's your Greek lesson. It means a household. You know, we get the word economy out of that. Okay, the oikos. Find your oikos or identify it. Now, on that little illustration, that crude drawing there that I made, you've got, first of all, yourself right there in the middle. But there are five others that are coming off of that. Maybe you've got five people that are, you know, close to you, but far from God. What you do when you get home, or even right now, write the names in. Yeah, because you see, this is not just something to listen to. This is something to take action on, all right? So you write down the names of those people who are far from God. And there's a process by which we're going to go. But as you do that, you also visualize that people who are going to be one for Jesus are going to win other people for Jesus. You know, the reason Connie and I had children is that it was the only way we could eventually have grandchildren. Okay, so we want to have spiritual grandchildren in our lives. So how do we begin? We begin by prayer. Prayer is just simply your conversation with God, because conversion is a supernatural thing. Again, going back to last week's message, the power to believe. You see, that's the working of God. We are just simply ASK, asking, seeking, knocking, and saying, "Lord, could you work with us?" And pray like the people did in Acts chapter 4. God answered, because it was in the will of God. If something is in the will of God, you can say, "Well, I don't think so." No, it's in His will. The next thing we do along with the prayer is care, and that is developing authentic relationships. Now, not relationships so that we can just, you know, get another notch in our gun belt, but a relationship because we care. We do for other people. We're not just caring about a program or a process, even if they do not respond as we hope that they will. The next thing after care is the share. And a simple method that you can use. A lot of times, people just get confused. They hear about Christianity, they pick up little bits and pieces, and it doesn't all hook together. And it sounds like something they really don't want to get involved with, because it's going to mess up their agenda, and think that, you know, their life is going to have to be over once they, if they do that. So you want to understand in a very simple way what this offer is. So when you tell it to other people, and I'm going to share with you a very simple method that every one of you could use. In fact, with this, you could win someone to Christ this very afternoon in a very simple way. All right. When you tell other people, there are going to be different responses. You see the traffic light there? You know, you got the red, you got the yellow, you got the green. Now, How do we come about with that? Let's go to the 17th chapter of Acts. I'm going to read a couple of verses, and I'm going to emphasize a couple of parts. Now, when they, Who are the they? They are the intellectuals in Athens. He is in the Agora, and he is telling them about Jesus. And he has just told them what he did and that he rose again from the dead. I said, but when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some did this. They mocked. Okay? That's a red lie, isn't it? Okay. That says, hey, hold up, wait patiently. Your turn is going to come to tell them. But right now, just be praying for them. And others said, we will hear you again about this. So Paul went out from their midst. Okay, going to hear again. This is the yellow light. Says, okay, you can, it's with caution now. And, because pretty soon you're going to have the opportunity. So you may, their openness, there's an openness. And so you might want to invite them into your Bible study. You may want to sit down with them and say, hey, let's take a little more time. What kind of questions do you have? And so forth. What is it that about this that interests you? What is it that bothers you? And then help to walk them in a very simple way through, the Bible. Then there are those who, the next verse, some men joined him and believed, among them whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. So there you have the green light. They said, yes. What do you do with those people? You train them, because that's where the next generation is going to be coming from. And then there's a fourth group, and that's people who already believe. Because when you're going to be sharing, you might be sharing with someone who already has that faith. So, what do you share? And how do you go about that? What is it that you might want to tell? The first thing is tell your story. What is my story? Now, this does not have to be something with a lot of detail. You can do this in 15 to 30 seconds. I don't know if you recall, maybe about a half a year ago, Tina was up here and she said, this is how you do a testimony. I had a problem. Then she moved over. I took it to God, and he heard and answered me. It's as simple as that. I mean, you know, don't we all have a story like that? So let's put it, how are you going to share the gospel with another person? You start out with a little bit of your story. And the story is going to have a couple of parts to it. The first thing is, there was a time in my life when. When what? Well, it might be something like, I was hurt, I was angry, I was afraid, I was confused, I was riddled with guilt, I was full of doubt, I was all alone. You know, everybody has some kinds of things like that that were not going right in life, okay? Then what happened next? But then I encountered Jesus Christ. How does that happen? Well, a friend told me. I picked up a Bible, and I opened it up, and I started reading, and something, you know, just really struck me. But how I'm that Jesus then came, I was aware of him, and then I surrendered my life to him. I put all my trust in him. And then what happened? And now I have peace and joy, or whatever it is that you have as a blessing in your life as a result of that. So that's pretty uncomplicated. Do you have a story like that? Yeah. All Christians have a simple story like that. Now, how is it that we're going to then make a simple presentation to other people? I used to carry around in my wallet a little thing that reminded me how to do CPR. I'd had the training, you know, like spent 45 minutes, and there's the trainer, this is how you do CPR, and so forth. Oh, okay. Well, with that, you can save a life. By the way, want to save a life? Go to Camp Bandage, all right? You get it? You don't have to be a medical doctor to save another person's life. If you got some CPR, you can do it. Just this last week, looking through the obituaries, and there was a name, Glenda Walding. I said, 87 years old, passed away, used to be a neighbor of ours. Yeah. As a matter of fact, she was the one who had taught our daughter Amy life saving so that she could be a lifeguard in the summer for summer job. And Amy, though, wasn't so sure she really wanted. She liked the sunshine and she liked playing with the kids, but she said, what if someone's got some trouble, you know, and I have to do mouth to mouth? I don't want to put my mouth on someone else. she didn't, and she could not stand the sight of blood. She was afraid she'd faint. Guess what she does now? You know, she loves guts and blood now. She's a nurse. And, you know, sometimes people are a little bit afraid to step out beyond their comfort zone. And then God says, you know what? I got this covered. Not a big problem. Well, I'm glad that there was a guy who was 19 years old at the time, student at Baylor University, and he had taken the CPR. He was a lifeguard at a pool in the Dallas area. And one day, my grandson, who was about 4 or 5 at that time, was on the bottom of the pool. Rachel, she grabbed him, took him out. He was unresponsive. Ed Bonner had learned CPR, and he responded, you know, and Drew is, yeah, he's just fine. So this is the opportunity that we have to save a spiritual life. Now, just as I kept that CPR thing in my wallet, you know, you may want to be sure you have this with you, because who knows when God is going to give you that opportunity to save another life. Well, how does this whole thing work? So look at that crude drawing. By the way, you can go online and you're not going to find a professionally done drawing like this, because you're intended to draw it yourself on a napkin in the coffee house, talking to another person, wherever it is that you encounter other people, especially when you find someone who is close to you but far from God. Have you ever heard of the three circles? Hey, can I show you something that I learned? As a matter of fact, wouldn't it be great if before the day is over, you took on this assignment, that you would just simply share this with somebody else? I mean, a husband, wife, you know, child, parent, just, you know, somebody who already knows it, okay? But it gives you a little practice and says, you know what? I'm really going to be serious about this whole matter and ask if the Lord has opportunities for me. Okay, so start with the one that has the heart. And that is, God created this beautiful world. Everything was in harmony with His will. Everything went well. There was peace. Everybody got along. And then something happened. Okay, that is, then we're going to a second circle, walking away from God, which is what Adam and Eve did and what people do. Walking away from God and then going into a place of brokenness. You see, when you go away from God, you're living in brokenness. And we all know what that's like. There's tears and sorrows and conflict, all those kinds of things that say something's wrong here. It's not supposed to be that way. And then people, you see those little squiggly arrows going out. People try to escape from that. All kinds of ways that people try to escape from this world that's not so absolutely wonderful. And but it's kind of like, you know, you pull on a rubber band or a bungee, it's going to snap back. And when it snaps back, you know, it bites you a little bit too. And that's what happens. People try to get away from their problems in all the wrong ways. But there is a way and there is a door, and we call that repentance, where we come then to the third circle. And that third circle, which has a crown, you know, Jesus Christ, sovereign Lord over all things, the ruler, you know, exalted in heaven. But we couldn't get up to Him. He had to come down to us. And then He took all of our sins, all of our guilt. He made the full payment, paid the full penalty for all our sin on the cross. And again, we access that by repentance, which is to admit our sinfulness, turn away from it, and then trust in Jesus Christ, which then begins the process of restoration, coming back then that place where God had wanted us to be. Okay. Now, you shared the plan of salvation with someone in a very simple kind of a way. And you may ask for a little clarification, you know, does this make sense, etc.? But this is that line now, leading back to a relationship with God in Jesus Christ. You might ask, is this something you would like to have in your life? Or is there any reason why you would not be willing to and want to surrender your life to Jesus? And then simply leading them in prayer, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I thank you that you gave your life for me. I trust in you for forgiveness and eternal life. Thank you for coming into my life, etc. Okay, so how are you going to do that and when? Now, the first thing you do is you set aside a regular time. You go over that little oikos illustration. Who are the five people, or more or less, that are close to me but far from God? You just pray about them. You don't rush in, but you wait for God to move and to God to open up that door and that opportunity. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And you ask the question, who should I be sharing with? And as people respond, who shall I be training? And why should I be doing this? Very simple. 2 weeks ago, I preached on the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, about go make disciples of all nations. And then it says, making disciples? Well, that's not just conversion. That is leading them into a lifetime of committed service to the Lord. Then in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20, I want to read this to you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what is that person? He is a new creation. New creation, all right? Which means old has passed away, the new has come. That's your identity. Who are you? I am a new creation in Christ. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Now, what did he give us? This is now our vocation, the ministry of reconciliation. How'd that reconciliation take place? Well, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors. Again, your identity, ambassador for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You're a new creation with a vocation, an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Well, by the way, this is the end of the sermon. This is not the end of the process. This is going to be part of our life. We're going to be learning more about that. We're going to be encouraging one another along this line. We're not going to be guilting. Okay. We're going to talk about how do we acquire the tools. How do we get what these disciples did in Acts chapter 4? How do we get that boldness? You know what? Relax. It's not something that's dependent on you. It's something dependent on God. Just simply ask the Lord to help you to be a more obedient person, and that he will always give us the grace for that obedience that he calls us to. What a beautiful thing that is.